Well, a big thank you to the Bucks for praying for us. Good morning. My name is Pete. I'm one of the clergy team here. Allow me to welcome you here alongside Steve. Do open back up to Mark chapter 2 and verse 13 to 17. We're going to be looking at it together. That's on page 1003. Actually, you'll only really need from 1004. I'm afraid I'm going to cheat you out of the first verse. So that's 1004. As we begin, I've got a question for you, often the case. Of these people, who would you like to have for dinner? Who would you have for dinner? So top left is Millie Bright. She's the English football team captain, made it to the finals. Bottom right, you've got the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi. He was on TV quite a lot for the moon landing. Next to him, you've got a boy called Ibra Ahmed, who is a Pakistani boy, who was one of the lads who got stuck on that cable car. I guess any of those would be quite interesting, wouldn't they? They'd be quite interesting people to have over for dinner. But what about the other two? Top right, Yevgeny Prigozhin. I spent a long time trying to work out how to actually say that. Prigozhin. Apparently the emphasis is on the go. Sadly, you can't, because apparently he's dead. But would you have him for dinner? The leader of the Wagner Group? Or what about bottom left? Lucy Letby, the disgraced nurse who was convicted of murdering numerous children. Would they be the kind of people you'd want for dinner? Well, in today's true story from the Bible, Jesus hangs out with, he eats and makes friends with some very surprising people. People you and I would not naturally hang out with or have dinner with. And we're going to see why he would hang out with them as we dive into this next bit of Mark's biographical account of Jesus' life. I've got 2 points this morning. The first is this. Jesus makes friends with sinners. Jesus makes friends with sinners. And so let's meet our first person. Verse 14, page 1004. We meet Levi. Verse 14 says, as he, Jesus, walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. So he's sitting there, Levi, he's a tax collector. He collected money on behalf of the Romans, part of the ruling authority. And when you and I think of tax authorities, we think of someone like this. Okay, this is Jim Harrah. He's the current head of HMRC. You know, we think of upstanding people when we think of tax. Probably relatively straight-laced, people who like a bit of detail. Levi, he wasn't like that. Sure, he might have had an eye for detail. He might have been quite clever, like Jim, I imagine, is. But Levi, well, he was considered a pretty bad person. And tax collectors in the 21st century weren't upstanding members of their community. They were considered traitors. People who worked for the Roman occupying authority. Jewish people, but who took Jewish people's money to give to the Romans. And Jewish people who took way more than they needed to. They made themselves rich by taking from the poor, because they could. And so they were despised in their communities. They were often kind of talked about alongside robbers and murderers. Levi, he's not the kind of guy you and I would have for dinner. Which is what makes what Jesus does very surprising. You know, if we continue in verse 14, he's sitting there at the tax collector's booth, and what does Jesus say? He says, follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. Jesus says to this treacherous tax collector, follow me. And he invites Levi to become one of his followers, one of his closest group, one of his friends, really. And if you were there, you'd be thinking, Jesus, what on earth are you doing calling this guy? Do you know what he's like? And back in chapter 1, Jesus called some followers. He called four guys, all fishermen, to follow him. And if back then you were thinking, all right, fishermen, I mean, not the sharpest knives in the drawer, maybe not the most eloquent speakers to join your band who are then going to kind of, you know, proclaim and tell everyone how great you are. Maybe slightly odd choices, fishermen, but a tax collector. Do you know what you're doing? But Jesus did know exactly what he was doing. He knew what Levi was like. He wasn't making a mistake. He was calling this sinner to be his friend. Because as we'll see, calling in sinners is exactly what Jesus came for. Firstly, let's continue with the story. Jesus asks bad man Levi to follow him. But what would Levi say? You know, Levi is going to have to give up his job. He's going to have to give up the money, the status amongst the kind of the Roman authorities. And to be honest, he's got to give all that up to join a group of people who already hate him. The people he's been stealing money from for years and years and years. Is he going to do it? Well, it seems like here he had absolutely no waiting. He just went straight for it. Doesn't have to think about it. He just gets up and follows Jesus, the end of verse 14 tells us. Levi knows how good Jesus is. As we've been seeing, actually, all the way through this series in the beginning of Mark's Gospel, we've been seeing how good Jesus is to be with. The person who can cleanse, who can heal. The person who's actually God himself. Of course Levi's going to follow him. Jesus calls a sinner to be his friend, and the sinner follows. But it's not just one. The story goes on as the verses follow on. Because later on, Jesus is at dinner with Levi, but with a whole load of other people. Not just one bad person, but a whole bunch of them. Verse 15. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Jesus is hanging out with a whole room full of these guys. And the way that Mark writes it, he wants us to be really, really clear that this is a whole room of tax collectors and sinners. Three times, just in two verses, you get that phrase, tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors and sinners, tax collectors and sinners. Mark doesn't want us to be have any question about it. This is the kind of people that Jesus is choosing to hang out with, to even eat with. You know, it's actually quite a big deal, actually, isn't it? Often, if you invite people round for dinner, you might have many acquaintances in life. There might be many people in this room that you say hello to each week, but maybe not all of them you've actually had a meal with. Even in the 21st century, it's quite a big deal. Well, certainly back in the first century, it was a sign of quite deep friendship to eat with someone. So isn't it strange in some ways that Jesus chooses to eat with a whole room of people like Levi? You know, let's face it, you and I would find it very difficult to tuck into a bowl of pasta and a glass of red wine with Lucy Letby the other side of the table. It's just not something we would do. But Jesus, he does. And it is surprising. The religious leaders, they get it. They get how weird this is. Which is why verse 16, it says this. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? It's a question we should have sympathy for. What on earth is he doing this? You know, Jesus could have hung out with whoever he wanted when he came to earth. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God himself. Surely you'd expect him to be with the dignitaries, with all the royalty, with all the councillors and the local posh people. But he doesn't. Here he is with these guys. Why? Why does he choose to hang out with these lowlifes? Well, that's point two. Jesus makes friends with sinners because, point two, he is the sin doctor. Verse 17, Jesus has overheard their question that wasn't even asked to him, but he's overheard it. And so he says back to these religious leaders. He says, verse 17, read it with me if you can. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus explains he's a bit like a doctor. You know, regular doctor, where do you expect to find them? Here, somewhere like this, in a hospital, treating all the sick people. That's what a doctor does. In fact, actually, I guess you'd be a pretty rubbish doctor, right? If you said, I'm afraid I'm only hanging out with healthy people. If you want an appointment in my surgery, I'm afraid you've got to be healthy. I don't deal with the sick. You wouldn't do it, right? Well, Jesus, he's saying he is a doctor. He hangs out with the sick. But he's not a neurologist, a brain doctor. He's not a nephrologist, a kidney doctor. No, Jesus, if you'll allow me to create a post, he's a sinologist. He treats people who are sin sick. And he says, verse 17, I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. This is Jesus, the Son of God, explaining what he is on earth to do. This is the kind of people he's come to hang out with. And it really fits this bit of Mark's gospel. We've had these 3 weeks of seeing Jesus hang out with people you wouldn't expect him to hang out with, doing things you might not expect him to do. You know, 2 weeks ago, he was with a leper, saying that he could cleanse, pointing to the fact he could cleanse hearts. Last week, he was with a paralytic, and he said the biggest problem that man had was his sin, not his paralysis. And this week, a tax collector. These three little passages packaged together are trying to tell us what Jesus is really about. He is a sin doctor. He's come to forgive, to heal. He's got the ultimate medicine for sinners, his forgiveness. And unlike an NHS prescription, which seems to sort of incrementally go up in price every year, much higher than inflation, what Jesus offers is free. His treatment plan, it costs nothing because he paid for it with his own life. If you were to read on in Mark's gospel, you get to hear how he goes to die on a cross to swap places with sinners. He is an excellent sin doctor. And so it's not a surprise that we find him hanging out with a whole room of people. At a sin hospital, you might say. Jesus makes friends with sinners because Jesus is the sin doctor. But what does this mean for us? Well, 2 thoughts briefly for us this morning. Firstly, for some of us in the room, these will be really, really comforting verses. You might not think that Jesus would want you to be one of his followers. You might think, do you know what, Jesus, you don't know what I've said. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've thought. You don't know how I've treated even my nearest and dearest this week. You wouldn't want me to be one of your followers. Well, this passage shows us, doesn't it? If Jesus was willing to come for Levi, the lowest of the low, the tax collector, the murderer kind of equivalent, well, he'd come for us, for you and me. He says, follow me. He wants you to be his friend. These are hugely comforting verses. Comforting too, actually, if there are people in our lives who we think, do you know what, maybe he's okay with me, but Jesus wouldn't want these people that I know. Do you know what? Jesus wants them too. No matter how bad anyone in your life is, Jesus wants them to follow him. He wants to be their sin doctor. And so there's no one who's too far away. There's no one that we can't hand on the message of Jesus the sin doctor to. These verses are comforting. But these verses are also quite challenging. For some of us, it's quite easy, I know I do it myself, to look down on other people. To think, you know, I'm not like them. And to be fair to us, you know, maybe we've worked hard in life. You know, looked after our families, never been in trouble with the police, you know, apart from maybe the odd speeding ticket. On the outside, we're quite respectable people. We're a bit like the religious leaders in this story. We think, you know, genuinely we're not like a Letby or a Pogrosian. And that's a good thing. But we shouldn't be fooled. We shouldn't be fooled. You and I are still sin-sick people. We might have a slightly different part, different version of the disease, but we're still sin-sick. We've still turned away from God. We've still not lived with him as our Lord every second of the day. We still need his treatment. We still need to accept that we don't measure up to his perfect standards. We need his forgiveness. These verses are challenging because sometimes we don't want to ask someone else for things. We're painfully self-sufficient people. I know it myself. But just like if we had a serious disease and you need to accept the help of a doctor, we need to accept the help of Jesus, the sin doctor. And wonderfully, it's just what he came for. He came to heal people like you and me. Verse 17, for the last time, Jesus says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous. I've come," says Jesus, "for the sinners." Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you sent your Son into the world, not for glory, not to hang out with dignitaries and all sorts of other exciting things, but you came as a man into our world to save sinners, to heal sin-sick people like us. Please help us to rejoice in that and to be people that say yes, like Levi did, to following you each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.